This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. The Citizens' Councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The Citizens' Councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Citizens Council Forum. We're happy to have with us today Congressman Thomas Abernethy of Okolona, Mississippi, now serving his ninth term in Congress. Mr. Abernethy is a member of the House Agriculture Committee. And, Mr. Abernethy, welcome back.
Well, I'm happy to be back.
And also, Congressman Bruce Alger, the only Republican member of the Texas Congressional Delegation, back for his third term in Congress, and this time a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. Congressman Alger, very happy to have you with us once again, too, sir.
It's my pleasure, and I'm available anytime you need me.
Thank you very much. Well, now, Mr. Alger, I'd like to start the questioning with you. Taxes, of course, are something that are always with us, and, of course, the higher they go, the more people talk about them, I guess. The Ways and Means Committee is the tax-writing group of the United States Congress. So what's in store for us that you could predict at this time?
Well, frankly, I might be the last man to tell you because I am the last man on the Republican side of the 10-man team. You know, it's 15 Democrats and 10 Republicans, and this is a new subject to me as a special subject. However, I might tell you that in addition to the specific things like life insurance, income tax, and cooperative taxation, and these fields we may be getting into, that I've had a continuing interest in a balanced budget, a forced annual balanced budget that Congress can't adjourn until we have balanced the income against the outgo, and of course this would be before Ways and Means, and certainly is an interest of mine.
Mr. Abernethy, I'm sure that balancing a budget would be of interest to you also, would it not?
Yes, in my judgment, I think federal spending and a balanced budget are the two important issues that face the country at this time. Incidentally, I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate the Republican leadership for assigning Bruce Alger to the Ways and Means Committee. Now, Bruce is a Republican and I'm a Democrat, but Bruce comes from our section of the country. He's made a fine mark in the House of Representatives. He's a solid man. He believes in the economy, and I think they have assigned him to the committee to which he should have been assigned quite some time ago.
Well, Tom, if I may interrupt here, let me thank you very much, because coming from you as it does, I think you know how I feel, too. I'm proud to be one of the Southerners in Congress, and I say to you again, as I have reminded my people back home, there are certain principles I believe in long before I'm a Republican, and I think all of us are Americans before we belong to political parties, and I think that's pretty typical of Tom Abernethy, and since it is typical of him, I hope to measure up to that, too. Anyway, thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm very sincere in what I said.
Tell me, Mr. Abernethy, do you feel that this $77 billion budget with which Congress was confronted represents an absolute minimum? Do you think there are cuts that can be made?
Well, of course, I don't know. The budget is a very voluminous document. It's been on my desk for the last few days.
Weighs something like 4 pounds, doesn't
it? Well, I haven't weighed it, but I know it's a bit larger than a Sizzle Buck catalog. And the figures are so large, they're just monumental, that it's impossible to conceive just what those figures amount to. But with $77 billion being the total amount of the budget, I'm just one of those who believes it can be reduced. Incidentally, I belong to a little economy group here in the Congress to which my colleague, Mr. Alger, also belongs, and we have a feeling that this budget, although it's said to be tight, that it still may be a little bit loose, and we think we can tighten it up some more, and I think it ought to be tightened up. And I'm certainly going to contribute my effort toward doing so.
What is your reaction to the $77 billion budget figure?
Well, I would not only share what Tom says, but if I may be even more specific, and I agree with him, it is so voluminous, it's hard to know where to start. Just one of the things that's kind of one of my pet peeves, I guess you might call it, is wherever the federal government is, or like the Defense Department, for example, mm-hmm. in the conduct of free enterprise, of business, if you please, in competition with our own citizens who are trying to run cleaning and laundry establishments and automobile repair and just all kinds of businesses, well, the Defense Department is in some 2,000 different business activities. Now, I simply say this is not increasing the defense of our nation, and I cite this as just one example where even though we want to appropriate everything we need for national defense, we could cut out some of the expense in the budget if we could get the Defense Department to cut out this operation of businesses in competition with our own citizens.
Let's get down to a little basic economics for a moment, Mr. Alger. A balanced budget, of course, is one in which the tax revenues equal the expenditures. But an unbalanced budget leads to deficit spending. Now, how is deficit spending financed?
Well, deficit spending is financed, as you know, by the government issuing securities, bonds, if you please, and selling them on the market, in effect putting more money in circulation. And the net effect of government spending more than it takes in, I'm not an economist now, but I listen to those who are, and I think most of them agree, that when the government spends more than it takes in, it inflates the currency. In other words, there's more money in circulation for the amount of goods that are there to be purchased. And oftentimes this results in weakening the buying power of the dollar. And since most civilizations and societies have fallen when their currency failed, we should take a lesson from them and not weaken the purchasing power of the dollar. Tom, does that sound right to you?
Yes, it does sound right. And I'd like to point out one more thing when we're talking about inflation and a balanced budget. Of course, there's been a lot of bickering here lately as to whether or not the budget submitted is a balanced budget, but that's beside the point. I think the thing that's been overlooked in all of the hoorahing about the budget is that even though it may be balanced, we are still not paying 1.5 cents on our national debt. Now, we're living now in a time of peace. Of course, the world is unsettled, but at the same time, we're in a time of peace. And if in a time of peace, we can't carry our burdens and make a payment on our national debt, I shudder to think of what will happen to us in the years ahead in the event we should get into a war. It will absolutely destroy our economy and completely wreck the American dollar.
Well, you'd point out that just the interest on the national debt is the $8 billion something now is really much too much and ought to be cut down and could be if we could retire some of the national debt.
Now, the only way it can be cut down is by retiring some of the national debt.
Right.
Mr. Abernethy, because of your special interest in farm problems, I'm sure that you're well aware of the way that inflation does affect the farmer, and I believe that you were remarking to me a while back that the farmer is the first man hit by inflation and the last one to get over it.
Well, of course inflation hits us all. I represent a lot of farm people. I have a district of around 400,000 people, and I would say that 200,000 of them live off of the farm, or they live off of those who do farm. Agriculture in my district is in a very bad state at this time, and it has been for several years. The income of our farmers has been going down, whereas the cost of the thing that they have had to buy, such as tractors and machinery and fertilizer and seed and poisons and so on and so forth, have been constantly going up. He's been living in a tightening economy. He's being squeezed out. Maybe some of them are in a status that they can't ever get back into a sound economic farming. But the facts are that in general, agriculture is, in my judgment, being slaughtered with the inflation that we have at this time.
Because there's too much time between the time that prices for the things the farmer must buy goes up, and then it takes a very, very long time for farm prices to catch up, if they ever do.
Yes. Yes. Well, the things which my farmers are having to buy are going up constantly, and the things which he is selling are going down constantly.
Does there seem to be any solution in sight for this, Mr. Alger?
Well, the solution is so simple that I'm afraid politicians, when they forget the simple facts and principles that built this country, overlook these things, and I believe the politicians forget it. What is it? Instead of being statesmen, they're politicians in their outlook, and it's simply this. There is only one way to balance a budget or to be able to reduce taxes, to be able to reduce our debt, and that is to stop spending so much money. And to do that, we've got to cut out programs. And cutting out programs means that possibly in every congressional district, there might be a denial to certain of the voters, things that they've been enjoying. And they all vote, and they're all married, and they all have kinfolks. And then, you see, so that we don't exercise what the president asked us to, I think when he said it rather well, quoting someone last year, when he said we've got to have understanding and exercise self-discipline. Well, I think in Congress, when the men are badgered eternally by voters back home who are organized in pressure groups saying, give me more and more, Mr. Congressman, for me. These people are not selfish entirely. They're just losing sight of the overall framework. And we in Congress then, I'm afraid, too often acquiesce to what the voters want instead of saying, no, we'd like to cut down this spending because in the long run, you, the people, will be benefited by not inflating your currency. But it means some of us in Congress have got to say no to spending programs, and I think this has been our weakness. What do you think, Tom?
Well, of course, we can't ever, we can't ever have a balanced budget, or we can't ever reduce spending within current revenues. We can't have a balanced budget unless everyone is willing to make some sacrifice of something that is now coming his way.
Well, that's well said.
Government. And one of the frailties of the human being is that he's reluctant to give up the things that are coming his way. We all favor economy, and everyone favors it, but usually we most of us favor it for the other man. But if we expect to really balance our budget and reduce spending and reduce taxes, everybody's got to make a contribution.
Well, that's well said.
Gentlemen, our time has gone by very quickly. Our guests for the past few moments have been Congressman Thomas Abernethy, a Democrat from Okolona, Mississippi, and Congressman Bruce Alger, a Republican from Dallas, Texas. We'll be back again next week at the same time with another edition of Citizens Council Forum. Till then, Dick Morphew saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms. The historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts. The right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets. And the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.